filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
This is a slightly special episode.
Slightly.
Slightly special. Because we're joined here, live in the studio, with the one and only Mr. Stromberg Carlson.
That's Strom Carlson. Stromberg Carlson is the equipment manufacturing company. But hello.
Hello.
Well, we got the first correction out of the way early.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I completely misspelt that as I said it.
Oh, don't you even start.
Did you warn him, Ionix?
I warned him, yeah.
Okay, cool. How's everyone doing today?
Quite well. It's an exciting day.
Yeah.
Doing well myself.
Cool.
And doing good over here.
Yeah, and we've got Planet back.
I'm back from the clammy claw of death.
Yeah.
I was a little bit ill and I'm playing it up a bit. Mm. But I'm good now.
Fantastic. It's good to have you back.
Things are getting a little boring without you around.
Yeah.
I thank you.
We had to resort to using girls.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, right. So where should we kick off? I guess we'll have a few questions for Storm.
Ask away.
Okay. I'm guessing the first question. You want to ask Ionix when Storm got started with Asterix.
Yeah. When did you start freaking, and how were you introduced to the whole thing?
Oh well, that's a fun story. It all started about 4 years ago. I had lived in a part of Southern California that was GTE territory, and then I had lived in Las Vegas, which was Sprint territory, but I'd never lived in an area which was served by a Bell System company. So I had I was walking around and I saw these Bell System manhole covers, and I said to myself, well, what's this Bell System thing? And I decided to find out, and I started reading about the history of the phone companies and the divestiture and all that good stuff, and I was pretty much hooked. And that's
roughly
how I got started.
Was it the breakup of Ma Bell that started you into it?
Yeah, exactly. It was the history of the phone company that really got me interested. The technical stuff came later.
Ah, so how did you start? Like, what was the first thing you started playing around with?
It's hard to say, really. I just started playing around with dialing different things and playing with the phone and playing around with the rotary phone. And figuring out what things did when you called them and where central offices were and what the switching equipment was.
Oh, so you started on switching equipment.
Yeah.
Wow.
I actually started with premises equipment.
Cool.
I didn't really know the different types of switches in the beginning. I started playing with payphones and started playing with my home phone line. And that kind of that evolved into switching and routing.
Okay. Very, very cool.
I've got a question for you. Where did you pick up the handle, or when did you kind of think, right, I want to be called Strom Carlson?
Well, I needed a handle. This was about, God, I think 2 years ago? No, 3 years ago now. I needed a handle, and I was trying to find one that it was unique and that sounded like a name. And it turns out that no one had picked Strom Carlson. And there's a telephone equipment manufacturing company called Stromberg Carlson.
That's right.
That made a lot of telephone equipment for the independent companies in the United States. And I figured, hey, one can abbreviate that into a name, make it sound like a name, Strom Carlson. and it also works as a phone joke, so that satisfied all my requirements.
Yeah, from what I hear, you often run into a lot of people who think that is your name.
Yeah, it's pretty amusing to hear people react when I tell them the handle. Like, wait a second, your name is not Strom? What the hell?
I've been so deceived. Nobody I ever
can barely
thinks
hear
my
you,
actual name is Ionic.
Sorry, did you say you can hardly hear Ionix?
Yeah, I can hardly hear Ionix, and someone else was talking, and I couldn't hear them.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, man, you know what we should do? We should get you to, we should commission you to build an Asterix server for us so that we don't have any of these kind of problems anymore.
Yeah, I will gladly do that. Give me a box and give me root access, and I will build you an Asterix server.
Okay, done.
Done, done, and done.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I mean, to have an Asterix, I'm assuming you need, like, some sort of specialized hardware, some cool broken cards, or what's the base build?
Not necessarily. If you're doing everything completely IP, you don't need any special hardware. You just need a Linux system.
So you just need, like, two NICs, and that's it?
Just one NIC. What would you need two for?
I don't know. For, like, an internal and external network?
Nope. If you're going to do that, sure. But, I mean, just one NIC works fine.
Oh, right. Okay.
Just, install the software, throw it on the net, and you're done. If you're going to do a conference bridge, you need to either put in a card for the timings, or you can do a what's called ZT dummy, which is basically it emulates the Zaptel card for the timings only,
right.
So you can do the conference bridge.
I've got to be honest, I was playing around with it. I downloaded the Windows version. And it just seemed immensely complex. I read a few kind of help files and stuff like that, but at the time, it just seemed like something I could never do. But how simple would it be for a complete Asterix noob to set one up for kind of VoIP conference calling and stuff like that?
Pretty damn easy. I mean, there is a learning curve, as with anything, but...
Yeah.
It's fairly easy to set up.
Sure.
I mean, there's lots of config files you've got to edit, but, you know, they're config files, and it's highly customizable.
Yeah.
I have never played with the Windows version, so I don't know
what
the Windows version is like, but I imagine it can't be that different from the Linux version.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah. From what I saw, it looked pretty cool.
It's a lot of fun.
It gives you a lot of power over what you need to do, and it's completely free.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's what Black Ratchet and I use for recording Binary Revolution Radio.
Mm.
In fact, even streaming it live, we do it via Asterisk.
Yeah. How did the live show go?
It went extremely well.
Yeah, from what I heard, it was very good. Very good quality as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think quality actually sucks. I prefer to do some sort of wideband audio with real microphones and everything, but Asterisk is just easier to do for the time being, so that's what we're doing for now.
Well, basically
but at some point in the future.
Yeah, what we do is I have various applications running at the same time on one 3 gigahertz machine, and everything is then mixed through a production quality mixer. And then back into my sound card, back through to the live stream. So,
oh, cool.
There's bound to be things messing up. And we've had quite a lot of shows where it's kind of on the edge of your seat. But we've gone through somehow.
We're still here.
Yeah.
We're still here.
The cool thing about doing everything with a conference bridge is, of course, it's called digital mixing.
Yeah.
The only time the audio goes back to analog is once it hits the listener. It's analog from my mouth to the telephone mouthpiece, and then that's about as far as it goes.
Yeah.
Analog, it's all digital from there.
So how much how much does it cost to set up what you've set up? And also, I think my question is, what kind of system are you running on? What's the spec?
The actual Asterisk box itself is a 1 GHz Pentium 3 with 384 megs of RAM.
Right.
And it cost me nothing. I got the box for free.
You need
and the telephone I'm and the telephone set I'm talking to you on is a Cisco 7960, which cost me, I think, $250 on eBay.
Cool.
That's a pretty phone.
I love this phone.
Well, I don't think anybody can doubt your dedication to phone systems.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been setting up a phone system actually for a friend of mine's company. I've been spending the morning calling all the various long-distance companies and local phone companies and getting bids for their services.
Hmm.
That's been an exciting experience.
Lots of fun. Sure, you've been doing much negotiating?
Well, yeah, I'm not really in the negotiating phase yet. I'm still waiting for quotes to come back from all the companies.
Okay. Come on, man. You're breaking my balls.
You're breaking my balls, man. I like what you're doing with Binary Revolution Radio right now. I've always wanted it to be opened up to people. Before, it was kind of closed off, if you see what I mean, even though people did email in. But it's still, you couldn't exactly, like, with us, anyone could just right now call in. And it would, like, kill the entire show. Because something would freeze up. Or hopefully, just maybe, we might have some luck on our hands and it'll be fine and we can bridge them right in. That's the kind of difference. And I like the fact that you're opening up now. It makes for a whole different flavor of show.
Yeah, totally. I mean, obviously the first time we did it live, I spent so much energy getting everything set up to be live that we realized we didn't have much of a topic for the show. So we figured, well, we might as well just do a live call in and see what happens.
Welcome to my world, buddy.
Yeah, more off the cuff. But what's probably going to happen in the near future is we're going to, you know, have a call-in segment.
Yeah.
And we'll have a topic. And maybe we'll take, like, a call during the middle of the topic.
Right.
We'll have to see what works out. It's kind of still very much playing it by ear.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're completely two different kind of flavors of shows. It's just good to see how you're developing that. And I think from the start, we never expected to be doing 50 episodes. We never expected to be here, which is cool. And I'd never expected there to be people in the RIC channel. I think, you know, Planet can kind of vouch on that as well.
Yeah, I didn't think we'd last 5 episodes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Let alone 50. But we're getting better, and hopefully soon we'll have this down to a tea. Nice cup of tea.
Yeah, I've always said our main restriction is that ability to bridge everything together. So if Asterix can do this for us, and I think this is the next step for us.
Oh yeah, it's stupidly easy with Asterix. I mean, you have a conference bridge going, and you just bridge callers in as they come in.
Yeah.
The way I've got my setup working here is that I have, you know, 2 Cisco VoIP phones next to each other. Uh-huh. So on this one, this is the one that I talk on the show with, and then the one next to it is the one I'll mute this one and I'll pick up a call and screen the caller, and then if it doesn't sound like it's a total ass, I'll three-way them into the conference bridge. I won't transfer them. That way, I can easily drop the call if need be.
So how I'd make it on the show?
Beg your pardon?
I said, so how did I make it onto the show?
That's a mystery which the LAPD are trying to solve right now. But they've got their top detectives working on it.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite sort of hack as far as Asterisk goes? Like, what's your favorite thing about it? The favorite thing that you like?
Well, what do you mean hack?
Well, I mean, the hack is a clever manipulation of technology. And Asterisk itself is, like, qualifies for that.
Yeah. Yeah, Asterisk itself, I think, just falls totally under the hack thing, but...
Elite hacks.
Yeah, elite hack. Well, I guess, like... I'd say that the ability to do that radio show live from the PBX really, really is just amazing.
Right.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, totally.
And, I mean, just the fact that you can integrate Asterisk with everything else is amazing. I mean, there's software out there that you can do graphical analyses of your call detail records and your traffic records and everything and just figure out, you know, just see visually what's going on the PBX. There are, you know, you can get almost any piece of IP equipment to work with the PBX. You can have stations, you know, distributed across the world, really, that are treated as local calls. It's amazing.
Have you heard about our International Space Center project?
I've heard about it, yeah. You're going to be talking to the International Space Station.
That's right. Well,
at some point.
What we're planning to do is launch Planet Lave into space and have him positioned there. So in case anything crashes, you can press CTR Alt and delete.
I have to plug the Cat5 cable into the station.
Apparently. Yeah, and he has to spacewalk out and point the aerial right down, and if it moves, that it fucks everything up. So we're really, you know, riding on your skills there, man.
I assume this is all planned while I was ill.
Yeah, exactly.
The reason he was off the show was he was actually in the simulator for about 48 hours straight. Just so we can get it right. Unfortunately, the Japanese company that we've hired to make the slingshot that we're actually shooting him into space with, they're behind schedule, so I don't know.
We'll see how it goes.
There's a rubber shortage in Japan.
Yeah.
We're actually right now looking at using an Australian ham operator.
Yeah.
To either relay the signal, or I realized today actually that we may have some problems relaying us to them.
Oh, really?
Since technically us speaking over the ham band isn't legal because none of us have our ham license.
That's correct, yeah.
So we may have to actually pose the questions to him, like in written form, and have him ask them. Although if we can get the application through, then we would be able to speak directly with them.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty useful.
It's just that the application for what we're looking for can take between 4 months and a year to go through. So it depends on how patient we are, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of red tape to come through.
It'd be cool if we could get it. It's one of those kind of far-off projects that we just... how did it come about? I think... somebody joked about it, and then somebody thought, yeah...
I mentioned that I've listened to him before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And somebody had mentioned, would it be possible to talk to them?
Yeah. I think that was me, because I always come up with these stupid ideas.
I was like, well, yeah, sure, that'd be possible. Let me look into it.
Yeah.
That's
pretty much how the radio station got started, I guess.
So, Strom, what do you see as the future of telephony? Do you think voice over IP is going to take over? Do you think
it's
going to force the telephone companies into more competitive price structures?
Well, as far
what's
as
your
the
take
goes,
on
I'm not entirely sure, but as far as the access technology goes, I'm pretty sure what's going to happen in the future. The copper phone line, you know, the copper analog line is going to die off eventually. Maybe it'll stay around, but for the most part, what'll happen is they'll bring fiber out to your premises, and they'll just deliver a single fat IP pipe to you.
Yeah.
And from there, you'll run all your voice and data services over that.
Oh, we wish for that day to happen.
Well, it's coming.
How about wireless? Do you think it might It might move more to the wireless end than an actual fiber?
No, I don't think so, because with wireless, you know, you have so many problems. It's really problematic. There's not enough bandwidth to go around. You're sharing the same spectrum space, you know, the same frequency band with hundreds of other people.
Yeah.
Everyone looks at wireless as this panacea of data communications and this panacea of voice communications, but really, for much beyond voice, it's not all that useful. We're only now getting to semi-reasonable wireless data rates. I mean, in the United States, at least, the best you can possibly hope to do over wireless, you know, is maybe a couple hundred kilobits a second.
Right.
And that costs a living fortune compared to, you know, 6 megabit DSL, which is perfectly reasonable.
Have you heard about projects that's happening in the UK that they're going to launch air balloons into the sky and have coverage, Wi-Fi coverage? Do you know how many megs it is? I think it's like 24 or something, 10 megs?
No, it's more than that. It's 100 and something.
100 and something megs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Megabits, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, you see.
That could theoretically work, but I think, you know, the problem with Wi-Fi is it's a very, you know, short-range technology by nature. You've got to put a lot of investment into covering a wide geographical area. And, you know, maintaining the network is difficult at best.
Have you seen the Verizon commercials for the nationwide Wi-Fi coverage using Wi-Fi as an ISP?
They're running commercials for that now?
In New York they are.
Well, I don't own a TV set, so I wouldn't have seen them anyway, but I haven't heard of that at all.
Yeah, apparently they announced a nationwide, or at least in major population centers, Wi-Fi coverage, where you'd use Verizon Wi-Fi as your ISP.
Yeah, I guess that's feasible if you're on the go, but again, you run into all the same problems with that as you do with other Wi-Fi. I mean, like, for example, at DEF CON, right? If they try and have a Wi-Fi network, and that is a major pain to use because, really, the bandwidth is so eaten up that, you know, you can't do anything with it.
Yeah. That and the whole security.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm not so sure on the whole wireless thing. I think being able to run a light pipe directly to a customer's premises has far more potential than having Wi-Fi bloody everywhere.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll take a fiber line to my house any day.
Yeah.
Mm.
And also,
if I want to set up a Wi-Fi router and then use my laptop in the kitchen, so be it.
But it
run the pipe to my house.
It saves on all the radiation and sterilization of your bollocks. I've got a 500 milliwatt signal booster that I use to connect to various access points around my house. But I think that I was reading up on the UK law. You're only allowed to transmit at 10 milliwatts, so I'm a good few hundred over.
Pretty damn amusing.
Any more questions?
Just a little one from me.
Run. I forget. An hour?
What's that? Sorry?
Mm-hmm. How long does the show run? 60 minutes?
It goes on for an hour, yeah.
Okay, cool. That's what I thought. I wanted to make sure, though.
Okay. Go ahead, Planet.
Just a small question for me. For Strom, obviously. Our special guest on episode 50. Away 50. Question is, basically, how are you finding running a radio station these days? Mm-hmm. because yourself and Black Ratchet, you've taken over Bin Rev Radio, obviously. What do you think are the challenges of that based, well, compared to just being a guest on it? Any advice we should know about?
Repeat that. I'm not sure I understand what you said.
Sorry, I tend to talk a lot of words all at once.
Well, no, it's more a function of the codec being a little difficult to understand than anything else. But
okay, mate. It's basically, how are you finding running your own radio station as opposed to just calling in on a specific topic?
We're not running the radio station. There's a whole station that we broadcast on. We just do a show once a week. But, I mean, pretty much, we pick a topic, we find, you know, either a topic that we're comfortable talking about, or we find someone who knows about the topic, and we just go for it, really. It's not like we put, you know, a whole week worth of planning and research into this. It's pretty off the cuff. A lot of times we'll only pick the topic, you know, we'll kind of have several floating around, and we'll pick the actual topic that we're going to do, you know, either the day of or the day before.
Sure. I mean, to add to that question, how does it feel to be either, do you see it as filling stank dog shoes, or, I mean,
I don't know. I mean,
how was it to take on that role?
It was exciting. I mean, yeah. To actually be completely honest with you, I hadn't listened to much of the radio show before I started co-hosting it.
Right, okay.
So, I mean, I sort of... See, the problem is, really, with internet radio, mm-hmm. there's so much of it that's actually really bad that it's hard to find anything to listen to that's good.
Right.
So, you know, for the most part, I kind of exhausted my search, and I said, okay, I'm just not going to listen to much of it anyway because I really have no desire to. And that actually seems to be the case with a lot of episodic broadcast type things because, you know, even when I have the ability to watch TV, I tend not to turn it on anyway. And there are things that happen on the radio which I'd like to catch this week, and I never end up listening to it for 2 months. So, I mean, it's just kind of a function of that. And
so basically you just kind of took it in your stride.
Yeah. I figured, you know, hey, this should be fun and interesting, and, you know, I also figured that coming from the perspective of someone who hasn't actually done this before and isn't all that intimately involved with the underground radio community thing, you know, I figured it would be a good idea to give it some fresh air and maybe, you know, do it a little differently without all the preconceived notions that one has when you listen to all this stuff so much.
And how do you take any kind of criticism or anything like that?
Oh, I take it in stride. I mean, obviously, no one... You're never going to get to the point where everyone is madly in love with your show.
Yeah.
There will always be someone out there who, you know, doesn't like the way you're doing things or thinks that the show sucks.
Yeah.
Or, you know, thinks that you're a good host but you present bad topics. You know, basically, you know, if I were running it, I would do it this way type of thing.
Well, then do it.
And... Yeah, exactly. I mean, so what you do, really, all you have to do is, you know, say, okay, you have to listen to all the criticism, of course. Sometimes, amongst all the bitching and the complaining, there are a few gems. There are some people who really present things that make a lot of sense, and people, you know, might be really bitchy but actually have good ideas.
Sure.
So, you know, you listen and you occasionally make a change based on what you think people want, because after all, if you satisfy nobody, then nobody's going to listen to your radio show. But you can't satisfy everyone, so you try and satisfy the majority of people who are listening to you. And I think we've done a fairly decent job of that. We kind of, you know, we had our shakedown tour a couple months ago when we just took it over. We were like, oh my gosh, we're doing a radio show, what the hell?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of, you know, growing pains associated with that, but I think we're kind of falling into a more comfortable position now, where, you know, we actually know what we're doing, and we're fairly confident that we've got people who know who we are and listen to us on a semi-regular basis. And I think doing it live now rather than pre-recorded gives people more of an incentive to listen to the show as it broadcasts out rather than waiting for the podcast. So I think doing it live generates more excitement around the show.
Yeah,
I definitely saw that. And you guys,
I'm sorry,
really
repeat.
Good job,
I didn't hear you.
You know, taking over a radio show, you know, maintaining
too quiet
quality.
Hello. Do you want to speak up a little bit? Sorry.
Oh no, I was just saying that they've done a really good job taking over the radio show.
Yeah.
And you know, keeping the content and the quality, it's been right up there. It must be quite an undertaking, I've got to say that.
It is at times, but the thing that intrigues me actually is, you know, I always understood it to be a more technical radio show, and the funny thing is that people seem to be saying that now the content has gone even more technically heavy.
Yeah.
Like, apparently, before, you know, when Stank was doing it, it was still a more, you know, very laid-back, like, this is my opinion, and oh, here's some tech stuff.
Yeah. That's true, yeah. I mean, it has changed, but all I've got to say is the way it is going is good. If you keep that call-in function going, I would recommend that. That's just coming from me, because we've had that experience, and it is really nice to hear what people... It's nice to know that people are actually listening to you, for a start.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And it's fun, you know, because then the show gets a more dynamic quality to it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, if you just have, you know, you lay out your show notes, you say, here's what we're talking about, here are the emails we've received,
yeah,
and let's just talk for an hour and a half.
That's it.
You know, it kind of has a monotonous quality to it, but when you've got people calling in, and really you don't quite know what's going to happen, then things really do take on a more interesting turn.
Yeah.
The call-in thing really is something I've been pushing for a while now, because we did that during DEF CON. We had people actually able to call in and ask questions during our talk from the hotel room and, you know, from elsewhere. Wherever they happen to be. And it actually worked out really successfully, because we did take some calls from outside.
Yeah. But
it was really cool. I was listening to your presentation over the stream that you had put up through Bell's Mind, I think it was.
Yeah.
And though I tried to call in, I got you saying, hello, hello, but apparently my cell phone wasn't broadcasting the... audio, so I got hung up on, but it was still very neat to be able to listen, you know, over my phone to what was going on.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that was actually kind of silly the way I did that. I just put my cell phone on, dialed into Bell's Line, and just kind of left it on the table.
Oh, was that what that was?
Yeah, that's what that was. It was pretty crappy, but I really hadn't had time to consider it before the presentation, because I mean, as much as you prepare and as much as you prepare and get ready and you think you have everything all set, the day comes or the presentation or the weekend comes and you are just madly scrambling to put things together.
Oh, we know that too well.
As quickly as you possibly can.
Yeah. So, any questions for us from you?
What's your listenership like? I mean, how active is your audience in responding to your show?
Well, from the start to now, we've got some very kind of dedicated people that are always in IRC, contributing to the forums. Some call in more than others. But I guess we've got a very kind of, I don't know, I'd have to say a casual approach to everything, and people are free to talk to us whenever they want, sort of thing, on the show.
I think a majority of the people who do listen to the show end up downloading it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably my guess with Binary Revolution Radio, because I've heard estimates of between hundreds and thousands of people who listen to the show, and during the live broadcast we had like 30.
That's right. Well, we get about an average about 6 people on the live stream listening to us at that time. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. Also, depends on what's going on at that precise time in the month. If it's going to be a big meeting or something like that, you know, there'll be more people listening in. What I'm trying to do now is get it more listener focused, so that people contribute to what they want to hear. Because just for myself, I don't really have that much time to spread over a day, so I need to dedicate some time to think about things I want to do. New topics I want to start on. There's a few projects that I'm doing myself that I'm going to be introducing into the show. And it really helps if somebody else says, well, how about this? I want to hear about this. Maybe we can do that. It's better to do it like that than, you know, have it all hanging on like three people.
Yeah. That and the whole one show a day thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, how does that work out for you? I mean, I understand that doing one show a day has got to be a lot more strenuous than doing one show a week. I know, you know, personally, sometimes I think one show a week is enough. But, I mean, how does that work out for you? Do you ever, there's two questions. A, do you ever, you know, find that the show is getting too casual, you know, that you lose focus? And B, do you ever find that the content of the show really gets monotonous and you're really, you're kind of scrambling for things to talk about if you're doing it on a daily basis?
Honestly, I don't think we've ever had a time where we're kind of going, what should we talk about? As for it getting very casual, we've had moments where it's just like completely off topic and it's just a crazy clusterfuck of God knows what.
Mostly just comedy and
comedy,
sex talk.
Exactly. And cock jokes and stuff like that.
Yeah. But our listeners seem to love it.
Yeah, they seem to love the clowning stuff. So we kind of try and spin it that way. Therefore, we get a bigger kind of share. And we can market the products that way. I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, it's a mixed bag. We have some episodes that are very casual, very just joking around. Not as much content as there is entertainment. And then there are other shows that we have that are really content heavy and very specific as to what we're talking about. And it kind of bounces back and forth. Which is, I think, why we can,
do you ever find that...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, do you ever find that the show, you know, swings too heavy into the, you know, between content and politics? I mean, you have some shows that, you know, you feel are too content heavy. Do you have some shows that you feel are just way too political?
I'll answer this first, and then everyone else can, I guess. No, I don't have a feeling that it's swinging one way or another at all. I mean, sometimes I just have a big rant, and somebody else might have a huge rant about, you know, the government or politics or Microsoft or this and that. But I don't feel it that it's a negative thing, or that it's going to be taking away from the actual show. So I'll move that on to someone else.
Because the thing, I mean, I hadn't listened to much of Binary Revolution Radio, but the thing I understood was that Stank was fiercely political on certain issues.
Yeah.
And am I correct on that one?
I don't think he was actually... I think he steered away from politics as far as real-world politics went. Like, I hate Bush because... he looks like a monkey or something like that.
Well, yeah, no, real-world politics,
but
of course,
as
but
far
I mean,
as,
within
as
the hacking, industry.
Yeah, as far as the industry, yeah, he was pretty. Yeah, he was. And I guess when you are a figurehead, when you are doing a radio show, what you have to get across is that what this is your opinion, and somebody else won't have the same opinion as you. And you've got to be careful of that, or you've got to keep that in mind.
And on the other hand, we actually do get into, like, real-life politics. There's been a lot of discussion about the war in Iraq, also human rights and our rights as citizens in the UK and the US, and how ongoing war affects that, and the technological implications of things like the new RFID tags within the UK state identification, things along those lines, and it's kind of encouraged. We're not so much all about the technology as we're all about the things that we're all hackers, yeah. And these are all things that we're interested in and that affect our lives, so let's talk about them.
Yeah. That's precisely it. And as I said to you before on the ISC, my impression of the radio show is that it's like a group of friends, you know, talking about this stuff in a coffee shop or something like that, and then somebody could go on about a rant and somebody else moves on to another topic, and you know, we don't have any scripts or any kind of show notes, but we do collaborate on the kind of news topics that we've researched and stuff like that. That's probably the most kind of research we do before a show is the kind of collaboration of news topics that might interest us, and then we take turns on speaking about them, whoever feels strongest about each one.
Yeah, because I mean the thing I find about the heavily opinion based shows are that, you know, really if it's too much opinion, not enough facts, then people will just be turned off after a while.
Yeah.
Maybe cute for a short amount of time, but really it just gets irritating after a while.
Yeah.
So I personally attempt to stray away from that sort of stuff. There are a few things I have strong opinions on, but I don't really get into that on the radio show all that much.
Well,
I try and keep it, you know, easy going.
What do you think, Planet? Are you still there?
Yeah, still here, mate.
Yeah.
Kind of phasing in and out a little bit. That's why I'm being a bit quiet.
Okay.
But this show mainly is what we care about and what we will put our spare time into.
Yeah.
So if something really impassions us, whether it's a good thing, a major move in technology, we'll go on about it. You know, if it's a bad thing, like the RFID, mainly me, will go on about it because it's something I really hate. So it is pretty versatile, very relaxed, and yeah, it's a bunch of people who really talk about what drives them,
yeah.
And what irritates them, and by having an open public kind of section, through IRC, through email, through calling in live, we want everyone to get on board and say what irritates them. If they think we're, you know, if they think we're absolute idiots for hating the RFID, come on, say
yeah.
So. You know, that's fine. Here's a platform where
you
can get on your soapbox and say what bothers you.
Yeah, that was the kind of the objective of the show, was to make it very open, so that because we're saying what we think what we know and what we love or hate, somebody else could disagree, and they're free to, if they choose to, make their views known to us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just because we're banging on about it doesn't mean it's the gospel truth. You know, so if you know more than this, then just come on and say, hey, you haven't thought about this angle.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Well, you know, and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yes, I mean, the other thing that I think drives me away from a lot of internet radio is the fact that so much of it is ego-based.
Yeah.
You know, instead of saying, you know, I want to do a radio show because I don't think this topic gets enough coverage, or
yeah.
I don't think that, you know, I don't think that this topic is being covered in the right perspective.
Yeah.
Or I think I can contribute something useful and unique to the community. I think so much of the stuff that's out there is, you know, oh my gosh, I have the ability to make recordings. I should do a radio show so
yeah.
people can hear my voice and love me forever.
Yeah.
And
I don't think that was at all what we set out to do.
Yeah, no, I'm not
yeah.
accusing.
No,
I'm not accusing.
I'm
not accusing you guys of doing that at all.
Listen, okay,
no.
I'm gonna. No, I'm just saying. From our point of view, that wasn't our line. Our line was that we had absolutely nothing here in the UK, and we were really jealous. Personally, I was like, hey, we've got to do something. We're just so disorganized. How about like, I do this, and somebody else joins me, and somebody else does this, and let's just do something together. And it all kind of fitted and slotted together. We all got kind of, we all gelled as a group, We don't see each other as the kind of the group, if you see what I mean, like a hacker group or something like that. But that mm-hmm. was our motive, was because we didn't have a forum. We had to create something for ourselves, and that's where we are now. I think we've established ourselves as the UK hacker voice.
Oh yeah, I mean, and I'm just really the best reason to do a show, I think.
Yeah. That was
because there's a need to the community to do it.
Yeah, as for the ego thing, you know, my ego's been crushed many years ago, so.
I think another thing as well, with what we're doing here, is often we don't agree on topics.
Yeah.
So
we tend to fight each other on the show.
We try to do it nicely and say, well, yeah, I suppose you've got a point, but you have to consider this.
Okay. I'm going to
shut you up. You're way out of your element, Donnie.
Yeah.
So it's thankfully not very propagandary, and we don't have a mission in order to take down the government or anything like that.
It's people
sharing ideas and kind of coming back and forth, and hopefully it'll get bigger and other people with other opinions will jump on and say yes or no, or I'm not bothered.
Yeah. The feedback I get from like 2600 meetings is so positive. I really get a confidence boost and an ego trip there and then, because people listen to it and they hear it, or they never heard it before and they're like, damn, this is what we need for the UK. And mm-hmm. you know, it's like, thank you for providing this. And you just see, you know, new people sign up to the forums, you see new faces in IRC, and the whole thing kind of grows each time, and I think that's brilliant. And we, me and Planet saw that personally on the Hacker Voice conference, conference that was held on a 2600 month meeting that was organized partially by us, and we kind of co-hosted it with 2600. And also, that's another thing I'm really proud of, is the kind of the collaboration that we had with 2600 and us.
Yeah.
And obviously, you've got two kind of entities arising, but you've got a 2600 which have history, whereas we're just like new. We're the grassroots, and thankfully, they took us. You know, they took a hold of us, and they, you know, and Reverend Rat wears one of our t-shirts, which I think is great.
Yeah, I think I need to make up some Binary Revolution Radio t-shirts.
Yeah.
I don't
know.
Hang
on for a second, I'll be right back.
Okay, man. I think that's the painted in piss break.
Damn it, he stole my bit.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't heard about the painted in piss break, have you?
I don't believe I have, no.
No, we have this thing that we patented for radio shows, is that we have a piss break where somebody needs to use the toilet.
It's normally me.
Yeah, it's normally Planet.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Sometimes we play music during that, sometimes we don't. I think we need the jingle for it. We've been
meaning
it.
To
yeah.
put together a jingle for it.
Yeah.
It was actually my sister called me on another line.
Oh, right, okay.
But by the time I got there, I'd gotten a dial phone, so I'm not sure what was going on with that.
I think something else that I was going to do is create a Stack Dog soundboard so that we could pretend...
Yeah, someone actually... sent us sounds that we've been thinking of, that we threw together, but anyone else who wants to make more is perfectly welcome to do so.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I wanted to do it, is to pretend that he's on the show and make it sound as if he's doing an interview with us. Because we can't get a hold of the guy.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Surely there's enough source material over the,
was
it, 104 episodes that Stank did?
Yeah.
I think 104.
Yeah.
There's quite a lot of rants and different things you could use.
I just miss hearing Stank saying, God damn it!
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm animated enough on the radio show to be as interesting as him.
Take more drugs. That's my advice.
Yeah.
I'll be sure and get tanked before every radio show.
Well, you know, we get...
That's pretty much what we do.
I'm surprised we're not drunk for the 50th episode. I mean, come on, what's going on?
Hey, talk to yourself.
I think... Oh, right, okay. Well, I truly think our alcohol standards are slipping. I'm really disappointed, and we need to resolve this matter.
Pack a voice.
Yeah, we need to hold a board meeting and a steering committee and everything. And
the thing for me is,
if you would have suggested this to me, I would have said, you know, no way. It's 2 p.m. You're crazy.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's only like 5 p.m. here.
And you're still drinking.
Well, you know, I did have a sip of pre-game wine to calm the nerves, but...
Calm the nerves? Come on, man. How many episodes have you been on?
50. Have you been counting? Me? I personally have probably done about... how many was it? It was September the 9th was the first time I came on.
Yeah.
So at least 30.
Did you know about the two new Linux phones to ship in Japan? Japan's largest mobile carrier has to announce two new Linux phones with support for push-to-talk, multiple numbers, and other advanced features. Of six models in the NTT.com's new 902i series. The two running embedded Linux are made by NEC and Panasonic. So, they're going to be 3G phones.
And, mobile phone.
Yeah, they're going to be 3G mobile phones with multiple numbers, advanced features, a 1 gig mini SD card, and various other stuff like that. That sounds cool.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a firm believer in the a device should be well-suited to a specific task mode of thought.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can do a mobile phone that works really well for, you know, messaging and voice, that excels at both of those, then that's a strong... If you're having a mobile phone that... does messaging and voice and a camera and plays games and plays movies and cooks your dinner and does a crappy job of all of them. Just, I don't know.
Well,
I don't think that's such a good idea.
Apparently, this is
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know if you've got 3G over there with the video phones. That's something I really don't know.
We've got like bits and pieces of 3G, but it hasn't taken off here.
Because over here we've got 3G video calling, where you can actually see the person that you're talking to on your mobile phone.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's complete crap. The coverage is rubbish, and it's very, very expensive. Like, I'm not even going to attempt to purchase this thing. Although I have purchased a 3G mobile phone, not because I want a video call with someone, but because I want the speed of 3G. Instead of like 56, 57k I can get on a standard GPRS.
How much K do you need on a mobile phone?
As much as I can get, because I can plug it straight
into my laptop.
Well,
I knew that was the answer, but I guess a more appropriate question is, what are you using that bandwidth for?
Porn.
Porn, yeah, exactly. If I'm stuck somewhere in the UK and I really need to, I need a quick fix. What I do
a
is
quick
I,
wank.
Exactly. I plug in my mobile phone to my laptop. I dial up, and you know, I'm away. I'm flying. If I can't get a Wi-Fi connection, and I don't have my 500 milliwatt booster to help me out, it's the only solution.
Oh, I see. You can actually hook it up to your cell phone then.
That's correct. Yeah. That's what
I'm. Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah. I mean, this. Yeah, you can.
You're experiencing technical difficulties.
Guess what I did?
You say you're not drunk.
Okay, maybe
you locked yourself in the fridge.
Maybe I had a little bit too much vodka to drink. I dropped my fucking iRhythm, man.
Are we still recording?
Yeah, we're still recording, I think.
Great.
Yeah, we're still recording, yeah.
You gravity noob.
I know. Gravity owns me. Fear. Where were we? Yeah.
We were talking about mobile phones.
3G.
Yeah, I mean, there's not...
Porn on the fly.
Porn on the fly. God, I'm gonna have to I'm gonna have to register a domain like that. Pornonthefly.com.
Yeah, I've got a, I've got a mobile phone that does messaging and web browsing and email and is a telephone.
Yeah.
And it actually surprisingly works really well. It's well designed. It's not overdone. You know, the applications are very simple.
Yeah.
They're well thought out. You know, they do exactly what they need to do.
Sure.
And the only really awkward bit about having it is there's no real keypad.
Ah.
You have to open up the phone and dial on, you know, a virtual keypad on the keyboard, basically.
So is it touchscreen?
No, it's not touchscreen.
Ah, okay.
Is it a Symbian OS?
No, it's a Danger Hip Top.
Right. I mean, my phone is a Nokia and it runs Symbian. And the cool thing about it is that I can plug it straight into my laptop and actually install applications onto it. I can make modifications to the firmware and things like that. So I can pretty much get it to do what I want it to do, which is why I bought the phone. And also it's got a 1.5 megapixel camera, which comes in handy when you need to take a quick pic, you know, of something that interests you while you're doing some urban exploration or, you know.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about having a camera on my phone, is that I never thought I would ever use a camera phone feature ever, ever, ever.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, I actually get a lot of use out of it.
Yeah. Although, the quality will never be as good as an actual digital camera. But at least...
Right.
You can take that quick picture of what you need to take, and if you're out on the field and you find something interesting... I've done it many times, and they're just, you know, standard 1.5 megapixel pictures, JPEGs, should I say.
Mm-hmm.
So it does have its uses.
1.5 megapixels isn't bad.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm all for the development of technology, and obviously there's going to be some really bad things, but they will eventually get ironed out and developed on and improved and... You know, things will, in the way of the world, improve, and some things will die. So that's just the evolution of the technology, I guess.
It's evolution in general.
Yeah, yeah. But if you're in the US,
something good comes out of it.
Yeah, but if you're in the US, actually, you're not taught evolution anymore. You're taught, what is it called now? It's called...
Creationism?
It's something...
Creationism?
No. Is it divine? No, not divine.
Intelligent design?
I think that depends on if you're in the deep south or not.
Yeah.
That's only in the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
Well, no, they do teach... Only in a few really wacko states do they not teach evolution anymore. Mm-hmm. For the most part, they teach the theory of evolution, and they say, look, this is a theory.
Yeah.
This is not the truth. This
right.
is something we think happened. This is a theory.
Okay.
What it is. There's
Bible
no...
is the theory.
It's not a law. It's not a law of evolution. It's a theory.
Sure. But what I'm trying to get at is, to me, then, asterisk, because it's so intensely complicated, I don't think a human could ever make it. It must be done by God. That's you know, that's the thing. It's like, we're so complicated that, you know, we couldn't do this, so it must be done by God. Must be done by an intelligent mm-hmm. thing, which is, it just doesn't make any sense.
By the way, how is Mark Spencer?
Yeah. How is God?
He's a pretty cool guy. He's doing well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. So what was it like, is this the first time you've met him, or?
No, I've met him before. He was in the San Francisco area. for some Upload conference. He said, hey, come up here for a bit. So I drove up there for about a week at DEF CON and had a good time.
Cool.
What kind of stuff did you get up to?
Is this our hour mark? Is this our hour mark on the show?
1 hour, 1 minute, 55 seconds?
I've got 59 minutes and 52 seconds.
Okay.
If we're really going to be anal about it.
So keep talking.
Yeah. We've got...
All right.
Come on, if we run out of time, it just ends. I'm kidding.
All right.
The amount of times we've planned for an hour show and done like 3 hours...
Mainly drunk.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Okay. I figured it was like something you've got an exact hour slot to fit into, beyond that.
Not at all.
The entire radio
not station, even close.
No, because the entire radio show station is run by us, so we can basically do whatever we like.
Ah, cool. Okay.
Yeah, the only reason why I like to keep it an hour is because of the size of the episode. It makes it easier for people downloading, like on 56K
right.
and those dial-up noobs.
Hey.
Like Napster. And Ionix.
Come on now, I was stuck on dial-up for a little while.
I know.
Even right now, I'm not doing much
anyway,
better than dial-up.
You're still in therapy because of that.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know.
But anyway, to answer your question, Mark Spencer is a really interesting person, really an interesting individual. I guess I would describe him as a geek who is very much a geek. I don't know. He almost escapes definition.
Right, wow. That's a guy
that's
you would meet, yeah.
Yeah.
So, when did he get it into his head that he wanted to make an open source PBX?
I'm sorry?
Do you know, like, how it came about that he decided he was going to make Asterisk?
Yeah. The story, as I understand it, is that he was starting a company doing Linux support services. Doing, like, you know, Linux tech support.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was totally shocked at the... At the cost of a phone system.
Uh-huh.
So he said, "Oh, maybe if I write my own phone system, I can save money running my company."
Hmm.
And
so
that's kind of how that started.
That's usually the way things kind of start in open source.
And so instead of his support company, he ended up going into the PBX business.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sounds like.
Well, you know, it's funny because you can. Because the phone number for the company is 877-LINUX-ME, which is kind of a holdover from the pre-asterisk days.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's that story.
Any news at all that's come up this week or today?
Got a little bit of a thing. It's Bill Gates' birthday.
Today?
50 today.
Wow, and it's our 50th episode.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Bill Gates.
Woo. Oh, Bill Gates turned 50 today?
Yeah, today.
Today's the day.
On our 50th episode, Bill Gates is 50.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be sending
him
an email with an attachment. It's gonna
I think I'll send him a copy of Windows.
Yeah.
It could use one, surely.
Yeah.
See how bad it is.
Did you see that interview on the BBC that he did about taking over Google? Or like thrashing Google? It says Bill Gates will thrash Google. And he does this stupid interview about how Windows is really good and how they are not just a software company. They produce mobile phones and Xboxes and stuff like that.
Weird.
Yeah.
I actually missed that, unfortunately. Yeah. I thought it was Balmo who was all crazy about smashing the crap out of Google and whatnot.
Yeah, apparently.
Throwing chairs around and, you know.
Apparently,
well, they all meet in a boardroom on a regular basis. I'm sure one can infect the other.
Yeah. Oh, man, I don't want to think about what they do in the boardrooms.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
He actually asked him. The journalist asked him, "Why haven't you left Microsoft yet?" And Bill Gates replied, "Well, I really enjoy what I do, and I get to meet with a lot of clever people, and software is like my base, and it's my fundamentals. So I guess, you know, I still have a lot to contribute to Microsoft." And I think, right, okay. When was your last software release?
That he actually wrote?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I don't know.
Well,
I guess
definitely wasn't Windows.
A while, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking, though. Like, what? Okay, if that is so, then what the hell have you been doing for the past, like, 15, 20 years?
He's been spending his billions.
He's been playing fucking Pac-Man all the time.
He's been playing Xbox.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I bet he's got the premium fucking membership as well.
Yeah, the platinum.
The platinum membership, yeah. Oh, and he also, the interviewer also asked him, do you have an iPod? And he said, no, I do not have an iPod.
He doesn't?
No, he doesn't have an iPod.
Oh, I couldn't afford it?
I guess so. I'm sure he's got an iPod. He looks like one of those people that would carry an iPod.
No, an iPod would be like kryptonite to Bill Gates.
Yeah.
He'd pick it up and go, ah! And drop it.
Yeah.
That's his one weakness.
Indeed. I don't know. Does anyone know what the equivalent of iPod is for Microsoft?
There are various media players out there that have Microsoft logos on them Microsoft approved and whatnot. But
they make
they all kind
media
of
devices like media mobile phones and stuff like that. So I guess that's the only equivalent. And even that doesn't really work properly. I've seen some of them on sale, and they're usually produced by a different company, and it's usually HP, because HP are like, you know, they're good friends, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but HP sold iPods for a while.
Did
they? Branded.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. Maybe not in the UK, but in the US, certainly they did.
Oh, right, okay. I still don't see that whole iPod fucking fuss. I really don't see why. I mean, there's so many alternatives.
There's so many what?
There's so many better alternatives, like iRiver right now. It's I don't see why people don't have more iRivers.
Haven't they closed down?
No, they haven't. They're still going strong, man.
No?
It's just evil rumors spread by Apple. Trust me. Trust me, man.
I thought they were
Well, I think it's twofold. First off, the interface of the iPod is very clean and simple.
Yeah. But
secondly,
so is the iRiver. I mean, it's only got like three or four buttons on it, and you can access it. You can access like three menus through one button. It's got onboard recording, video playback, every single codec you could ever imagine. 20 gigs of memory, no fucking iTunes shit. You can basically plug it in and use it as a hard drive. So I don't see why. And it's got a built-in microphone as well, which the iPod doesn't. You have to, like, plug this thing in, whatever it's called, like I Hear or something stupid like that. What do they call them now?
I have no idea.
Fuck this.
Yeah. And why does everything have to be I? I mean, could it just not be, like, the microphone for the iPod, or does it have to be called like iPhone or iMic or
iMic?
I'm still waiting for Apple to release the eye patch, which should be an actual pirate eye patch that plays MP3s.
Yeah, the eye patch. Could you imagine that? And the little band goes behind your ear and you can hear it.
And it will ship by default with Blow the Man Down.
Yeah.
And 16 men on a dead man's chest.
And what shall we do with a drunken sailor?
And it's,
that's the one.
It's cream white. It's cream white with a little Apple logo on the front.
And underneath it, instead of like I, it says A-Y-E.
I. Arr.
And now you too can be a pirate.
I think the other reason for the success of the iPod is the fact that, you know, the music store is so well integrated with the device.
Yeah, and the marketing was just huge.
So, yeah. They do. They spend an incredible amount of money on marketing, and you know, that's probably another reason for it.
As well, if you're going to sell a product, you want everybody to know your name, which is iPod, and I think they really did make a good job of that. Because nobody knows what the fucking iRiver is.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing is, you know, where do you buy an iRiver? I've seen it for sale maybe at one store.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't sell them? No, I'm joking. You can buy them from, like, a distributor, but that's the thing, that the market... It's such a kind of specialized device that it's been pushed out of the way by iPods. Actually, when I was purchasing that, I was considering purchasing an iPod, but my supplier suggested, hey, take a look at this. It's really good, and it's 10 times better than an iPod. I took a look at the specs, and I immediately fell in love with it before I even, you know, touched it, which is kind of unusual for me, because I usually, if I'm going to purchase something new, like new technology, I'd want to test it out, you know, before I put money down for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're 1 hour and 11 minutes and 32 seconds just for Strong.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that was spelled correctly, okay?
Yeah.
I'm kidding, man.
What are you thinking about?
No, I always get so much shit for giving people shit for being horrible spellers.
I know. I mean, why do you do it? I know why you do it, but let's just
hear it. It needs to be done.
Yeah.
But why do I do it? Because, A, I can't stand reading it.
Okay.
That's my first thing. And B, you know... The way I see it, right, if you are someone who is, you know, if you're a hacker,
yeah,
the whole point of being a hacker is that you're technically proficient with things.
Mm.
You have the ability to think very clearly and very precisely about very complex and difficult topics.
Sure.
And subjects.
And not one of them is the English language. We're just getting cut. Hello? Oh, damn.
Did we lose
him? Still there.
Yeah, we just lost him. Yeah. Let's call him back.
I think we went through some kind of wormhole.
I know.
Thank you for calling the Strom Carlson PBS. Strom, dial 2. To play the Touchstone game, dial 3.
I dial 2, man.
Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Oh, his connection fell down. Yes, it's not my fault. Oh.
Call me back, please.
No.
Oh, Lordy.
Oh, man, I got one up on Strong.
Play the Strong game, dial 3. Thank you for calling.
Oh, man. Hey,
pressing all the buttons at once won't help.
Strom, your PBX sucks. I'll try him again.
Please bear with us.
Let's play some, you know, this is,
thank you for calling the Strom Carlson PBX. Strom.
There we go.
Hello.
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 All right. So anyway, getting back to where I was, you know, the whole point, we're hackers, we are precise about technical topics and systems, and language is just another one of those systems.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I'm all for creative use of the language. I'm all for coming up with new terms and jargon and whatnot.
Sure.
But to butcher the spelling of words whose spelling is perfectly well established and, you know, are standard and not jargon, you know, it doesn't do anything besides make you look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, really,
about,
I don't see...
What about those people that have trouble spelling words?
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah. People who actually have a genuine learning disability or a genuine, you know, inability to deal with words.
Yeah.
And that's a physical inability to deal with the words and the language. That's totally excusable. But, I mean, if you've got the capacity to do so,
yeah.
If you've got the capacity to spell things correctly and to speak precisely and, you know, to think spatially and whatnot, then, I mean, if you can, just learn the language. I mean, this is something that you're supposed to have learned in middle school, elementary school, how to write, how to speak. And it always baffles me that people who can speak, you know, really well, who sound very erudite and very educated when you speak to them, you talk to them online and you feel like you're talking to, you know, a two-year-old with dyslexia.
Okay, well,
I'd like to say I actually support Strom in his crusade against lazy spelling.
Well,
it's not people who... It's like you said...
dyslexia, so that's the thing.
Well, it's like you said, it's not against people who have problems with it, genuinely. It's against people who are lazy.
Yeah.
And they spell later,
exactly
L-8-R, you know.
Okay.
Sorry, I think I just talked all over everyone there.
I think we cleared that up. So I guess, shall we end it here, or do we have anything more to talk about?
Seems like a natural place to say goodbye, unless you've got stuff to talk about.
Anything from Ionix?
No, I'm good to go.
Okay, cool. Well,
it's been a great show.
Definitely. Thank you for...
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for joining us on the 50th episode. It's a special...
You're very welcome.
You know, it's a special episode because it's a round number. It's easy to type. So, yeah, it was good.
Unlike our episode Pi.
Yeah, exactly. The Pi episode. I mean, come on.
Then there was Phi.
Yeah. Well, it was enlightening. I think I think we'll be communicating more on the asterisks maybe later on if you're up for it.
Oh, definitely.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm willing to help out.
Excellent.
You are a prince among men.
Yeah. So good night from me.
Good night from Planet Labor. I just want to thank Strom Carlson for joining us tonight on our 50th episode. Thank you, sir.
Hey. Thank you. My pleasure to join you guys.
Cool.
I'll look forward to doing it again.
Okay.
Anytime.
Anytime. Just drop us an email.
Will do.
Pop on to IRC.
Yeah.
Or just call randomly during a show.
Exactly.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah, but hopefully not through Skype.
Yeah, definitely not.
Well, I just want to say sorry for making you use Skype and making you hear the awful codec.
it's bearable.
It's bearable, okay. Cool.
Just
it's not something I would consciously choose to use, but if it's the only option, I guess I'm stuck with it.
Okay,
so.
Cool. Well, thank you for all the listeners for listening in, and I hope you enjoyed it. It was good. It was emotional.
I laughed, I cried.
Yeah.
I nearly wet my pants.
So,
I've got to do laundry now.
We're going to be... Do you want to introduce the track that we're going to be finishing off, Ionix?
It doesn't really have a name, per se. It's off of a live mixdown.
Right.
But it's from a Boston DJ called DJ Random.
Right, okay. Cool. Here we go.
Hit it!